This is the Mike Lupica Podcast.
This podcast is great because your enthusiasms, it's why we've all been reading you for so long. This is a great vehicle for you to actually get to, in a long-form way, explore those enthusiasms, sometimes with the perspective of an additional 10 or 20 years.
Thanks for doing this today, pal.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
The fun of this is I just talk to guys that I want to talk to.
That's what, to me, is such a blast about listening to your show.
First of all, the first time I ever saw Bernie on television, I started to talk like him as I was watching him.
Can you imagine the great Michael Jordan saying, hey, you know what? We can't beat the Pistons. Let me go join them. The essence of sports is about competition.
In-your-face questions.
How much of a dope is he?
Compelling.
A $1 billion industry, the biggest we've ever had in sports in this country, often comes down to a flip of the coin.
This is the Mike Lupica Podcast. Here's Mike Lupica.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on the Mike Lupica Podcast. Today, we are happy to be joined by an old friend, the play-by-play voice on television of the Boston Red Sox, one of the best in the business, Dave O'Brien. But before we get started with Dave, I want to tell you about our new sponsor, Mack Weldon. Guys, we all have them, right? Of course we do. They're the staples of our wardrobe. How many times have you been in a department store looking at aisles and aisles of underwear and socks? This is not the most invigorating shopping experience, believe me, and you just want to grab and go, but you can't because you're playing a game of roulette as to which ones are going to fit you. That's why they developed Mack Weldon. Welcome to a stress-free, easy shopping experience that will guarantee you the best fit and the most comfortable top drawer apparel you will ever own. Custom-engineered fabric, detailed stitching, even odor-eliminating underwear and socks make Mack Weldon the obvious choice. If you don't like your first pair of underwear, keep it. Get a refund, no questions asked. Mack Weldon is going to give you a 20% off your first order right now. Go to MackWeldon.com and enter the promo code, wait for it, Lupica. Welcome back to the Mike Lupica Podcast, and my dear friend Dave O'Brien, on his All-Star break, when he should be resting his voice, has generously agreed to come on this pod. Why? It's a total lapse in judgment or taste. He is one of the best in the business. If you watch baseball on television as religiously as I do, you know that state of the art is Dave O'Brien and Jerry Remy and Dennis Eckersley and any configuration of that group. It's as good a listen as there is for any local market in the country right now. And sometimes if you're lucky and you got the MLB network and you're another part of the country, you can catch Dave and Remy and Eckersley. And it has been, first of all, welcome, David. It's been a lot more interesting season than you thought it was going to be.
I would only, by the way, get my feet out of the waves here on Nantucket for you, Mike. So that you're the only person alive I would do anything like this for. But it's been a fascinating season, and it's been a rough season for the Boston Red Sox, the way it started out, and obviously, you know, going 3-8 on the road. And Major League Baseball didn't do the Red Sox any favors with the schedule, of course, the trip to London. Meanwhile, and I'm not going to say the Yankees are anything other than a great baseball team right now, because they are, but they've played an awful lot of home games. The Red Sox played a lot of road games and actually played pretty well on the road, you know, over the last 5 or 6 weeks. But you know, that having been said, it's been a rough ride, and a lot of guys looking at each other in that clubhouse going, okay, we know that we're the world champions. We know we won all those games a year ago, but it's feeling very distant now. And you know, what do we have to do now? Why is Chris Sale, for example, 3-8
yeah,
with an ERA over 4? And he's looking at Rick Porcello, who's got an ERA over 5, and Mookie Betts is hitting in the 270s if he's lucky on a given day. It's been a weird year so far, just really weird.
Talking to Dave O'Brien, the television voice on NESN of the Boston Red Sox. Okay, Dave, in a way, if the Yankees hadn't kind of run off like this so far, and they hit a little stumble at the end right before the All-Star break, losing their last two to the Rays, okay, you'd look at the Red Sox season and say, yeah, it was a nightmare start. They're the first team to ever start with 11 games on the road. First defending champion to ever start with 11 games on the road. Okay. And they started out 6-13, So they went from 7 games under .500. They dug themselves out of that. Now they're 8 games over .500. So you'd say, yeah, that's pretty good. Except you watch them every day, David. And I watch them an awful lot. And what I mostly see from this team is a whole bunch of catastrophic losses, and we'll get to the bullpen in a minute. Mookie Betts is only now starting to stir. Andrew Benintendi is only now starting to stir. J.D. Martinez was a little bit ahead of them. They've had a breakout year from Vasquez. They've had a breakout year from Rafael Devers, okay? But somehow, with the way they've scored, They just haven't been able to stop anybody. And again, I want to start with the starting pitching, because right now they basically have two reliable starting pitchers, Eduardo Rodriguez and David Price. And for all the runs they've scored, starting with the London series, I keep pointing that. I put this up on Twitter the other day. From Saturday to Saturday, they gave up 63, David.
Right. Right. Which is, I mean, that's staggering. And, you know, the Yankee series, they came away embarrassed, and they had every reason to be embarrassed by what they allowed pitching-wise. But, you know, you're right about the runs, though, Mike. I mean, this team can score with last year's team, you know. They're in that same realm, and it's the highest batting average in baseball. That I think they're going to wind up buying for the runs, you know, for the runs for the season, number one in baseball. They're number one in a bunch of categories without Mookie Betts. And without Andrew Benintendi, and I think even J.D. having a particularly good year, he's having kind of an average season at this point. So you're right. I mean, they're picking up the offense from places, that additional offense from Xander Bogaerts that they maybe didn't get a year ago, even though he drove in 100 runs. And you're right about Devers, who's having an incredible year. You know, in another season, he would be talked about as an MVP candidate. No one in Cleveland has any idea who that kid is.
Right.
He didn't go to the All-Star game, but he deserved to go to the All-Star game. And,
yes.
And Vasquez probably did too. It all comes back to starting pitching and the weight that this rotation, a couple of guys that you mentioned aside, have placed on the bullpen, has put the bullpen in a horrible light. And yeah, there have been a lot of blown saves, and I know you're going to touch on that, late in games in particular, that have been horrifying losses. But this team scores enough runs to hang with Houston, to hang with the Yankees, to hang with the Minnesota Twins. You know, they went into Minnesota, took 2 out of 3, should have won all 3 of those games. They lost one of them in 17 innings. So, you know, just strictly speaking, when you look at the offense and what they can do on the bases, they go first to third, still better than any team in baseball. There's a lot to like about that ball club.
There's a lot to like about the ball club, and you know, and again, this is all second guessing now, except that people were raising these concerns even during spring when you know, starting pitchers were on a backfield, and clearly whatever they thought was going to happen, and no matter how they thought they were preserving arms, David, their starting pitchers pretty much were not ready for the start of the season. And what's troubling to me, just watching them, as a kid who grew up in New England, Porcello's performance is as troubling as Chris Sale's, because A, they need him. And Dave, you know this. Most nights he pitches like the guy who followed a Cy Young Award season with a year where I thought he was going to lose 20 the next year.
Yeah, right. Lost 17. Yeah. He is. It's very unusual, because one thing that I think that has happened with Porcello, who, by the way, I don't think was overly thrilled with the idea of pitching limited innings in spring training.
Right.
I think there are a lot of those guys, Mike, who you know, privately would tell you, I want to pitch. I want to pitch. I know we had a long season, but I want to pitch in the spring, and I have a certain number of innings in my own mind that I feel good at. I don't think any of those guys got there. But in Porcello's case, I think, and I wonder if you agree with this, he's pitching so much differently than he did 5 or 6 years ago. He's pitching to the hitter often as opposed to his own strength.
Yes.
He's decided that the four-seam fastball is the way to get guys. You got to strike guys out today if you're going to be successful. And he's not that guy. He's a ground ball guy. He's a two-seamer, give me a double play to get out of the inning pitcher. And I think he's pulled away from that because of the modern age of hitting.
The great Dave O'Brien is our guest on the Mike Lubega podcast. More of our conversation with Mr. O'Brien right after this from Geico. Okay, this is a 30-second commercial, and I'm going to throw a lot of numbers at you, but please stay with me, because if it doesn't confuse me, it's not going to confuse you. In just 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. This company has been offering great rates and great service for over 75 years. And anytime you need help, you can speak to one of their trained specialists 24/7. The company, of course, is Geico. Go to geico.com today. Sorry for all the numbers. And in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Oh, damn it, I'm out of time. You know, Dave, I think back, remember that night last season when he just totally dominated the New York Yankees at Yankee Stadium? And everything, he was burying slider after slider into the catcher's glove. And now I listen to you guys and you know, and I'll hear fastball, fastball away, fastball up, fastball, fastball, fastball. You're exactly right. And I'm not sure if it's a reaction to, you know, what not only the hitters, but we'll talk in a minute about what Justin Verlander said about the baseballs, basically under the nose of the commissioner yesterday in Cleveland. But Sale is more troubling to me because, Dave, I wrote a column early last season that if you were making a list of the aces of the sport, it would be him, Verlander, Scherzer, without question. He was, you would give him the ball, and you know this as a Red Sox guy, okay? The game I always describe as the ace game, okay, is Josh Beckett's game against Cleveland in the American League Championship Series of 2007. Where they're down 3-1. He's facing CC Sabathia. And Beckett basically stood there that night and said, here it comes, boys. See if you can hit it. That's what an ace is, okay? That's what Sale was. But man, Dave, even though he has days still where he strikes out everybody, he's not the same guy. And I'm not quite sure, once, because I don't think it's I'm not sure it's velocity.
No, because his velocity at a given time is still 94 to 97, you know, with that filthy slider. It's been such a bizarre year. And I think when you look at the Red Sox, he typifies the 2019 Red Sox, because there have been moments where he's been terrific. There have been moments where he's been awful and he's walking away shaking his head. He struck out 17 Colorado Rockies right after striking out 14 Baltimore Orioles, and he was throwing 97. And you said, well, okay, Chris Sale is back. We know that. And off to the races. And then, you know, these 5 1/3, you know, 5 2/3 with, you know, 5 runs, and he walks 3 or 4 guys, and you're like, well, that's not Chris Sale. What's going on with him? You know, in both of those cases, Porcello and Sale, as you know, they're great guys. They're terrific guys. They take it harder than anybody.
And accountable, nobody, David. They're accountable,
incredibly
too.
Accountable, yeah. Incredibly accountable. In this day and age, it's so refreshing to see that. Because, you know, you grew up with Red Sox teams that I did, too, who were not like that. You know, they were out the door in 2 minutes and didn't even shower. They were gone. They were in the cab. They were gone. They're not like that anymore. And these guys are wonderful that way. You know, having said that, they've just got to pitch better. And the thing about Sale is it's in there. We know it's in there. We know that Chris Sale could have a brilliant second half. He could win 10 games in the second half. And just, you know, shove for the rest of the season. But I don't know if that's going to happen, having watched these stops and starts with him, because the last time out, his slider was god-awful. He was spraying it all over the place. He had no command of it at all. That was really troubling. And if the Red Sox are going to go anywhere, there's no question. Chris Sale has to lead them. He has to be the point of the spear, so to speak, if that's going to happen.
Talking to Dave O'Brien, the television voice of the Boston Red Sox, and there is much to discuss with his team. It's a perfect time to kind of take stock of the Boston Red Sox at the All-Star break. David, one of the interesting things I have been reading and hearing the last couple of days is that the Red Sox may very well be in the Zach Wheeler sweepstakes if the Mets decide to move him. And I think that's a move that the Red Sox could make. I don't know what the state of the farm system is at this point, because they're not taking on a huge contract with the kid from Citi Field.
Well, I was going to ask you about that, but you see a lot more of Zach Wheeler than I do, and that we do in the American League. We only see him if we run into him, maybe an interleague play. Is now, the more I read about, is this a good fit
Yeah.
Will he be the kind of guy who can come to Fenway Park on a hot Friday night with the Yankees in town and 35,000 going crazy there and pitch a great game? Is he that capable?
I think he's got, I think he is capable. And I'm not confusing the sort of mediocre Wheeler I've seen this year. I'm trying to remember the kid who looked so great over the last part of last season. Here's the thing. And I said this the other day, Dave, Syndergaard, Wheeler, and Steven Matz all have ERAs this year of 4.5 or more. Okay, so the Mets, I know this is going to shock you, Mr. O'Brien, but they actually have a worse bullpen than the Red Sox do. Okay,
I've noticed. Yeah,
they've got more blown saves than the Red Sox do, and I know you watch this night after night, and you're saying, "What the hell is he talking about? Nobody can have more blown saves than our team does." Okay,
hard to do. Yeah, particularly after the seventh inning. But, which is just remarkable. Yeah.
But I think if he can get with Dana Lavangie, I actually think he is an innings eater, and the Red Sox need that as much as anything, because that's a segue to the bullpen.
And Dave, I like the whip, and I like some things there with the numbers I've seen with Wheeler. And stay away from ball four, which is what this team does very, very well. This pitching staff, by the way, leads baseball in strikeouts. So there's a lot still there on the bone, but can he, if he has a bad outing, if he goes south in the third inning and gives up three earned and he gets the hook from Alex Cora, can he own up to that? Is he the kind of guy who can survive in Boston in a pennant race or a wild card race?
Yeah, I think he can, and I'll tell you why. A couple of things. You know, he has pitched in New York. He hasn't pitched in high leverage situations in New York the way he would be pitching in them in Boston. I think he's a good guy. And the other thing is, for all the conversation we've had today about accountability, I think you get with Cora and you get in that room, and I think you get with the program in about 30 seconds. I do. I think it starts with the manager, and I think Alex would be perfect for him. All right, let's talk about the bullpen for a second. Okay. And you know, I think one of the times we spoke in spring training, I said, if bullpen were a drinking game with Red Sox fans, all of Red Sox Nation would have been schnockered by opening day. Okay. It was all right, Dave. It's all anybody talked about all winter long. And then the worst fears were realized. And I know that people can come up with stats and they say, well, they've got this stat and that stat. Yeah, but you get the eye test every day. And so the stats that you hear that defend the bullpen are, it's the old line about how if you torture statistics long enough, you can make them say whatever you want them to. Okay.
Right.
And again, these guys are who they are. But the one thing it seems like nobody factored in, and the Red Sox are run by very smart people, okay? Yes, we saw what Kimbrel was like in October. I wouldn't have given him big money either, okay? We saw that Joe Kelly overperformed in October, but you had a right to say, well, wait a minute, is this the real Joe Kelly, or is it the Joe Kelly we saw on opening day all the way back in March of last year when he blew up against the Rays, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But what they didn't seem to figure in was how much innings they were losing by losing those two guys. And I will admit that they have put a stress on everybody that was left behind. And now we're seeing the results of that. Dave, I could give you four or five games and you know which one, the White Sox walk off, all that stuff. You give me four or five games and the American League East looks completely different to the Boston Red Sox because they're five out instead of 10.
Right. They're essentially where Tampa Bay is, maybe even a little bit higher in the standings.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Exactly. Yep. Right. So you've got a lot of guys out there who are performing, I think, out of their roles. I don't think, you know, Ryan Brazier performed exceptionally well for the Red Sox last year. That was a wonderful surprise. Asking him to do that again probably wasn't fair. Asking Matt Barnes to pitch the ninth inning or all of these eighth or seventh innings where he's required to, you know, mediate his way through 3, 4, 5, you know, the real big sluggers in the lineup. I don't know if that's fair. I don't think relying on Marcus Walden, who finally got to the major leagues after like 8 years in the minors, and it's not fair to shove him in there in Yankee Stadium in the eighth inning or the seventh inning either, let alone the ninth inning. I think there's a wonderful, warm security blanket waiting in every bullpen, the closer. And if you have one of those guys, and the Red Sox did have one of those guys, every single day when you send a starter out there, everyone on that ball club, and you know this is true, feels like, you know, we've got the lead, eighth inning, ninth inning, we got this, it's over.
Yep.
The game is over. Everybody relaxes. Everybody feels great about, you know, the potential winning that game. I think that's worth its weight in gold for a ball club. But when you make the decision, as the Red Sox did, well, we're not going to have a true closer. We're not going to spend the money on Craig Kimbrell. And I'm with you there. I saw all the high walk totals, and he was spraying it all over the place in October. He wasn't the same guy. I get you with that. But now, here we are at the All-Star break. If you had that decision to make again, and I know you're going to get hit with a big luxury tax, but would you make that move? Would you go ahead and if not Craig Kimbrell, get another closer somewhere who specializes in the ninth inning? I know I would, having seen what I saw with the blown saves. Were you talking about 7 or 8 games after the seventh inning that you had the lead in and you lost in the first half? And that happened like one time all last year. You've got a gigantic problem that wasn't remedied, and I think the Red Sox have paid a dear price for that, because you're right, they ought to be right there, you know, maybe 4 games behind the Yankees at this point, 4 or 5 games. And I think they believe that. I think the offensive players, the everyday lineup guys, Mike, I think they believe they should be right there.
Yeah, and there's going to, you know, again, there's a one-time-only deadline this year. It's going to be very interesting when we get to the end of this month, because there's no August. You know, this is it this year. And one thing we know about John Henry is he will spend money to win. Okay. And the other thing we know about John Henry is he will get pretty frustrated pretty quickly, and he's not afraid to tear things down. I mean, I talk about this all the time. Since the Red Sox began their run, and which began when Tom and Larry and John got the team. Okay. The Red Sox have won with 2 team presidents, 3 general managers, and 3 managers. The only constant has been the guy who has the primary interest in the team, and that is John Henry, who has become as great an owner as there is in sport. And I am sure that he is extremely frustrated that so many of these wounds this season are self-inflicted organizational wounds. And Dave, you know this. I like Dave Dombrowski. Dave Dombrowski had as good a year last year as any executive could ever have had in baseball. Just about everything he touched turned to gold. But that was then, and this is now. And it's clear now that they cannot compete the second half of the season without a closer. Now, you hear that Brad Hand might be available. You hear the guy in San Francisco might be available. But this is a pretty dramatic move for them to give the ball to Nathan Eovaldi when he's healthy.
And we thought the other day, too, Mike, that maybe Toronto was showcasing Ken Giles a little bit. Didn't work out that great because he gave up a bomb against the Red Sox. But maybe that guy is also to put on that list. But I have no doubt the Red Sox are going to make 2 moves. I think they're going to grab a starting pitcher. Eovaldi will go to the bullpen. And I think they will get another arm. Now, whether that's a straight closer or whether that's something else, because it seems like they've got an idea how to use Eovaldi. Alex Cora is not sharing it. I think it means when he says, I've got an idea, they're going to pitch him not just the 8th inning, but they'll pitch him the 9th inning and try and stretch him out a little bit that way. And they know they can get that out of Nate Eovaldi. What we don't know is how is he going to perform in that role? You know, how is he going to we saw him pitch out of the bullpen in the World Series, but that was effectively as a starter coming in after another starter had been knocked out. It's a lot different situation than having to get up and down so quickly, get ready to go, and maybe just, you know, throw 2 pitches. You know, throw your cutter, throw your fastball, that's all you need. We'll see, and we'll see how it affects him mentally to do that job, especially if he coughs one up. I have no idea. He's a strong kid. I think he'll do well. But I think Dave Dombrowski will absolutely go out and get, because you're right, there's a commitment here with ownership. It's John Henry, it's Tom Werner together, and you can see the frustration on their faces. I saw them down on the field in London before the Yankees series began, before the 17 runs. And you could tell that, you know, they were frustrated, they were upset, because they live and die every one of these games just like the rest of us do.
We're chatting with Dave O'Brien on the Mike Lubica podcast. More of our conversation with the television play-by-play voice of the Red Sox right after this from Kronos. Kronos knows that many organizations maintaining a modern workforce of hourly, full, and part-time workers, for them, it can be a challenge. This is especially true for human resources professionals working hard to attract and retain all the best talent. That's why Kronos puts HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping on a single cloud-based platform. It's one specially designed to give HR professionals supporting a blended workforce a whole new level of confidence. With it, they have everything they need to tackle nearly any human resources challenge and are empowered to not just find and hire the right people, but to engage, motivate, and reward them every single step of the way. Learn more about Kronos HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them, because Kronos is at heart a people business, at kronos.com/HR swagger. Kronos, workforce innovation that works. Yeah, Dave, you know, it's funny. And I honestly believe, having watched this team, what happened in London was as inevitable as the tide. I didn't know the Yankees were going to score to that extent. And again, what you saw from the Red Sox hitters was that they don't give up, that they can score runs, that the tying run in those crazy games kept coming to the plate. I mean, it was such a bizarre couple of days.
And I will say this: this goes back to your point about what Verlander said. I mean, there was a crate of balls that arrived in London that I don't think anyone has hit this season. And yeah, the ball was just absolutely taking off. People were talking about, well, it's a circular soccer stadium. There's no wind resistance in there. The artificial carpet is incredibly fast. All of that was true. But when you see guys just opposite field hitting the ball 420 feet who really have no business doing that, I mean, that was an eye-catching series. I happen to believe that, and I wonder if you feel the same way about Verlander, I think he's absolutely right. And I think what he came out and said is there's no question about it. I saw Vlad Guerrero, put on quite a show last night in the Home Run Derby. I saw him taking batting practice in Toronto, getting ready for the Home Run Derby in the days before it. And, oh, my God, and the baseballs they must have been using, I don't know what bat he was swinging in that batting practice, but he was hitting them into practically the top deck over and over again. I have a feeling those were the Home Run Derby balls. I think we've been using those all season long, actually.
You know, Dave, and it's funny, you know, I've known Rob Manfred forever. I mean, I had his back just in newspaper columns during Biogenesis. I think everything he's trying to do for the sport is on the side of the Angels, okay? But this is what Justin Verlander said, okay? You ready? It's a blanking joke. Major League Baseball's turning this game into a joke. They own Rawlings, and you've got Manfred up here saying it might be the way they centered the pill. They own the blanking company. If any other $40 billion company bought out a $400 million company and the product changed dramatically, it's not a guess as to what happened. And he goes on from there. Dave, hold on one second. I got to deal with a barking dog. Hold on one second. Hold on.
Oh, that's a classic. Yeah. Somebody get that dog a bone.
I'm terribly sorry. Okay. But Dave, when you hear the guy who might be the star starting pitcher of the sport, and certainly the most prominent, say those things, you got to take a look at it. So I'm going to ask you a larger macro question, okay? Do you like this, Dave? Do you like this incarnation of the national pastime?
No, I'm with Verlander on this, and I'm amazed he was as candid, you know. But maybe I shouldn't be, because
star game, you know, at the All Star game, Dave, you know, where everybody's there,
knowing full well what kind of coverage that's going to bring. But Mike, I think he's right. I think there's something different with the baseballs. I think it was done very purposely. I understand why it was done. I think, but one thing it's leading to is longer games. And that's not a good thing for baseball. Baseball needs to go the other way, needs to make a sharp left turn very quick. And that's a whole other topic, I realize. But that is more runs leading to, and the strikeouts are also leading to longer games, because it takes longer to strike a guy out as opposed to a guy putting the ball in play when it counts 1-1. So I think Verlander's absolutely right. It's not a good thing for baseball. I get why baseball is doing it. I don't support it. And it's not as fun. I want to see, you know, a couple of times a week, give me 2-1. Give me a well-played game that's decided on a stolen base or bunting a guy over once in a while and showing some good fundamental skills that we all appreciate. And I'm not saying let's go back to, you know, dead ball era stuff, but let's get back somewhere in the middle where baseball used to be. I think more fun to watch in that sense.
You know, Dave, and I, one guy that I have been celebrating since April, because I watched what he did over the second half of last season, and there's a stat that everybody's using that I first came up with all the way back in April. Since Jeff McNeil came up to the Mets last July, only one person in the sport has a higher batting average than he does, Christian Yelich, okay? And this is an old-fashioned come out hacking, swing at the first pitch, hit the ball where it's pitched, whether you're getting shifted against or not. And I hope they celebrate him tonight in the era of the home run, Dave, because he is an old-fashioned throwback Pete Rose type hitter.
Well, I love that. And I love the idea. You know, we watched Nomar do that and become a superstar doing that. Hey, get in the box, first fastball you see that's in the strike zone, try to do some damage with it. The Red Sox of 2018, Mike, were much more that kind of a ball club. So were the Houston Astros the previous couple of years, and they still are. You get a hittable pitch in the zone, please do some damage with swing at it, and something great might happen. And do it early in the count. I think a lot of guys, though, are getting up there, obviously looking to hit home runs. They don't care if they strike out. That's a plague on baseball right now. That's not a good thing for the game, and it's not a good thing for young kids to be looking at and trying to emulate. I see nothing but chiropractors getting rich for the next 100 years as a result of this, and I don't think it's a good thing to see nothing but home runs and strikeouts in baseball. We all know home runs are through the roof, never been higher. May was an all-time record, broken by June as an all-time record. I love home runs, too. I love offense just like everybody else. But I think it's got to be legitimate. And the baseball, as it is, as Verlander said, it's not legitimate. Let's get back to the way the game can be played, where, you know, there aren't these video game kind of numbers. That 17-13 game in London was a real eye-opener, I think, for a lot of people. That right out of the gate, you know, they get 6. Red Sox come back and get 6. Okay, there's nice history to that. It's never happened before. But is it fun? Is it really fun for people to watch pitching staffs get, you know, their heads caved in? I don't think so.
Dave, it was appropriate that those games were played in London. And I'll tell you why. Having covered a lot of Wimbledons in my life, okay, when I was at Wimbledon, David, there was always a big test match in cricket going on between, you know, the United Kingdom and, like, New Zealand. And in my memory, it was always somebody would get ahead like 542-3. Okay. But by tea time on Thursday, the other team would have caught up and it would be 542 all. Okay. And then somebody'd win by one wicket. That's what this felt as long as a cricket test match over those 2 days at London Stadium.
The London Times and the newspapers were crowing about what a great event it was. And I really do think it was great for baseball. And in this sense, it introduced a lot of terrific players playing a foreign game that they might be interested in. They may be able to follow. But they didn't mind the length of the game. First game took 5 hours. I mean, it was a 9-inning game, and you're sitting there going, this isn't right. But nobody went home. I mean, very few people left. So I think there's definitely a line to be drawn to those multi-day cricket matches and what we saw in London.
I remember several years ago, I was covering a Yankee Red Sox game on a Friday night at Fenway Park, okay? Which took, it was one of those 5 hour, you know, 4 hour and 49 minute, 9 inning games that lasted so long, David, that the desk finally called me and said, you're not going to make the late edition with this game. So you can go ahead back to the hotel if you want. And I finally just gave up. I love baseball, okay?
I
gave up. And you see these games. You're there night after night and day after day when nothing is happening on the field, okay? Despite all these big scores, it's strikeouts. it's walks, and it's home runs. And it's, you're right. The Red Sox were the opposite of that last year. They were putting the ball in play. They were balanced up and down their batting order. And I think being a home run or nothing team caught up with the Yankees in the playoffs against the Boston Red Sox. You saw it, especially with Giancarlo Stanton, that in big moments, he could not put the ball in play in a four-game series that felt like a five-game series and was way closer than that, other than one blowout game. And you're right.
One of the things I'm afraid of, Mike, because I, you know, you love baseball, I love baseball, there's a lot of things we can talk about that we love about the game or want to see changed in the game. I know that conversation's been going on for 120 years. But what I'm afraid of is the game is headed toward being a clock sport. And I don't mean a 20-second pitch clock. I mean, at some point, baseball is going to be put on the clock, that a game must be finished in 3 hours. And if it's not finished in 3 hours, guess what? We're putting a runner at second base, and the first team to score wins the game, something yep. like that.
Yep.
Because this day and age, we just can't keep up with baseball teams playing 3.5, 3:45, 4.5 hour, 9-inning games
yep.
that are not playoff games. These are being played in June, July, and August. I just don't think it has any hope of servicing today's sports fan. It can't continue to go this way.
More of our conversation with Dave O'Brien right after this from Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? It just may be the most rewarding to do you do today. And Dave, you know that those discussions are being held on Park Avenue. They are. What do we do? Okay. If we play an extra inning game, do we put a guy at second base? Do we allow teams to go back to the top of the batting order? All of these things are being discussed. I know they are. And
they are. They are.
Yep. And the thing is, an average baseball game is about the same as an average NFL game, except there's way more action in NFL games, and you can't tell me that simply a ball going over the fence compares with a long scoring drive and a long touchdown pass in football.
I love baseball players, love talking to them. You and I have been doing it our entire careers. There's so many great guys in baseball today. I enjoy interviewing them and just picking their brains around batting cages and dugouts, whatever. But they're not going to change the game, Mike. Players are not going to take that initiative and say, yes, okay, games are too long, so we are going to allow the game to be sped up for more action to take place. Because, you know, a major league pitcher who is standing there in the set position with a runner at second, a runner at third, and he's up by one run, and it takes him 35 seconds to deliver the pitch where absolutely nothing happens. People are fainting in the stands.
Right.
He is not going to be the one to say, okay, we need a pitch clock or we need to do something to rectify that. Because in his head, the game is not slow. Everything is speeding up. It's going a million miles
right.
an hour.
Right.
The adrenaline is pumping through the gills. So I think we have to be the ones, either in the media or certainly the commissioner's office, we have to be able to throw out ideas that are going to change the game. I'm not so sure a pitch clock will work. I talked to a minor leaguer who had been promoted to the Red Sox 3 weeks ago, and I asked him about the pitch clock and how often, you know, what levels he used it. He said, I've used it every year since A-ball. And he said, I think it won't work in the majors. And I asked him why, and he said, you can step off the rubber. If you get to 18 seconds and you're not ready to throw the pitch, step off, and it resets. So How does that really work? How is that going to spin? Now, it's worked a little bit in the minor leagues. The statistics show that, you know, games are quicker in the minors, but just by a little bit. I think something very profound is going to happen in our lifetime about baseball to quicken the pace of play, to get more action in the game. I'm not sure what it's going to be. I don't know if it's going to be an overall clock that games have to be done in a certain period of time. I hope it doesn't come to that, but I do know this. The players won't be the ones to change it.
Dave, we're talking to Dave O'Brien, television voice of Boston Red Sox, my old friend. Dave, even from afar, and having seen them as little as you have, because they went to London this past weekend, you have to be amazed at what the New York Yankees have done this season with 20 guys, 20 plus guys on the injured list. They have hit all these home runs. They have won all these games. And I don't think Judge and Stanton combined have hit 10 yet this season.
Yeah.
And I wrote a column about this the other day, David. Bryce Harper, Manny Machado make $630 million combined last winter. Okay. DJ LeMahieu comes to the Yankees on a 2-year, $24 million contract. He's playing in Cleveland tonight, and he's probably the most valuable player in the American League so far.
Yeah, he'd get my vote right now, and I didn't see anybody in London who hit the ball anywhere near as hard as this kid did.
I know.
By the way, can win a gold glove, you know, as well. I think that was such a smart pickup, and you're right about Aaron Boone, too. I mean, I think the job Boone did in keeping everybody centered with massive injuries. Here's the thing, you know, if you're Tampa Bay, if you're the Boston Red Sox, you had a great chance there. You had a golden opportunity to kind of not bury the Yankees because these guys were going to come back and get healthy, but at least to get on top of them. The Yankees didn't waver. They played great baseball with all of those marquee players out, and now there's the great fear that, well, you missed your opportunity, you missed your window. I don't think players necessarily look at it that way. I think if you walked into the Red Sox clubhouse, I'm sure this is true in Tampa Bay, they believe, you know, we got a chance to run them down if they slip. You know, if they lose four in a row. My first broadcasting job was with the Atlanta Braves in 1990, horrible team. You remember how bad they used to be.
The year before the last to first World Series.
That's right. In 1991, the Braves were 9 games out of first place in the old National League West. Remember when the Dodgers and the Braves used to be in the National League West together?
Yep.
You and I are both old enough to remember that. They were 9 back at that time. And within the first, I want to say, 4 or 5 days of the second half, they had knocked off 4 or 5 games off of the Dodger lead. I'm not saying it's going to happen necessarily, but it's not impossible. It's one of the things we love about the game. You know, if the Yankees slip a little bit, you know, you mentioned they did a little bit right before the All-Star break. They scuffled a little. If that continues into the second half and the Red Sox get hot, the Sox problem is they've got the Dodgers right away, and they're playing phenomenal baseball. All the talk about the American League East and the Houston Astros, and maybe the team that is touched by destiny this year is in Los Angeles finally.
And a reminder that today's episode of the Mike Lupica podcast is being brought to you by our friends at Mack Weldon. Guys, we all have them, right? Of course we do. They're the staples of our wardrobe. How many times have you been in a department store looking at aisles and aisles of underwear and socks? This is not the most invigorating shopping experience, believe me, and you just want to grab and go, but you can't because you're playing a game of roulette as to which ones are going to fit you. That's why they developed Mack Weldon. Welcome to a stress-free, easy shopping experience that will guarantee you the best fit and the most comfortable top drawer apparel you will ever own. Custom engineered fabric, detailed stitching, even odor eliminating underwear and socks make Mack Weldon the obvious choice. If you don't like your first pair of underwear, keep it. Get a refund, no questions asked. Mack Weldon is going to give you a 20% off your first order right now. Go to MackWeldon.com and enter the promo code, wait for it, Lupica. David, I have stayed in touch with Dave Roberts throughout this season, starting in the spring. I like him a lot. He's one of the smartest people in baseball. Always will have his wonderful spot, second base, in history of the Boston Red Sox. Okay. I looked something up back in the spring because I think the story of the Dodgers is so compelling. Okay. Cody Bellinger is one part of the compelling narrative, David. People forget he was 1-for-16 in the World Series. He was a complete bust. And now he has responded by having this kind of first half. Okay. In nearly 100 years in baseball, not since the Yankees, okay, back in the early 1920s, has a team lost 2 World Series in a row and then come back to win in the third year. Okay. It is what they are trying to do. Dave, they don't want to be 3/4 of the way to being the Buffalo Bills. Okay.
Right.
But they have a chance to make history. And Roberts told me at the start of the year, blinders on. We're not talking about 17. We're not talking about 18. We're talking about 19. And oh my Lord, what a baseball team they have been. And you know that, yeah, I hope they do everything except beat down, I hope they don't beat down the Green Monster, when they get to Fenway this weekend. But you know they'll do something at the trade deadline because they are all in to not go to the World Series and lose again.
Dave Roberts is really one of the great guys in baseball. I know he's taken, you know, a couple of years ago, a lot of criticism about, you know, the analytics kicking in and who he lifted when and all of that stuff.
Right.
But he's really, really one of the terrific guys. And I've been in their clubhouse a couple of times covering games and seeing how, you know, a Kenley Jansen or someone or a Clayton Kershaw reacts with him. And it's almost like he's an in-uniform member of the ball club, like he's going to play some second base tonight. But they also treat him with great respect and great regard. So he's got to go in there. Obviously, the young kids who are hitting walk-off home runs in that lineup, and Bellinger's having a special, special year. They got a lot of guys who are having a special. They're doing this without Rich Hill, who is a big-ticket guy for them, and he's been hurt, and yet they're still able to go out there and run away with that division. So that series coming up, it has, you know, you circle that if you're a Red Sox fan and if you're a Dodger fan, but baseball is circling that too because two of those three games are on national television. I know it's a rematch of the World Series, but it's also two elite teams. And I do think the Red Sox are an elite team. They can play with anybody in any series. This is going to be a really, really fun series for baseball right out of the All-Star break and will determine a lot as far as what the Red Sox do come that trade deadline.
Yeah, I mean, are they capable of making a run? Absolutely. Okay, and we've seen it across baseball history. But now, for the time being, they are in a scrum right now, David, for wild cards with the Rays, the Indians, the Texas Rangers, and the Oakland A's, okay?
Right.
And I have been firmly convinced for a while that the Indians are going to make a run in the Central. It's not that I don't have a great belief in the Twins. I know they can mash. But so the Red Sox have put themselves into a situation where right now, looking realistically at the way they played and that they're well past the numerical halfway point of the season, Dave, what they got to be hoping for is maybe the best they can do is to get a wild card game at Fenway Park.
Oh, I agree. And I look, Jackie Bradley was interviewed as the club left Detroit the other day, and he said, okay, maybe the Yankees, he didn't say concede, but maybe the Yankees have everything it takes to win the division, but we're very much in that wild card race, and you have to be looking at that right now. You know, the Red Sox are finally 8 games over 500. This is a season high. They haven't been this high up.
Right.
And the next thing's got to be 10, and then keep on going from there. The characteristic, I think, is still there for them, Mike, that they had last year. I still believe it's in there because it's essentially the same ball club, and that is today is the only day that matters. You know,
right.
Cora got them to believe just today. Worry about these next 3 to 5 hours when you're on the field. Just put this one away. Win tomorrow, and you win the series. It's all about winnings, and they did it so methodically. And with, I think, such a great way of attacking the baseball every day and attacking the opponent every day, I think that's in there very deep. It's in their DNA. Cora's done an incredible job of making sure that the stumbles, I hope, are all behind them. I think Chris Sale certainly has every reason to think he's going to be great in the second half. David Price, by the way, is quietly putting together a really nice year.
You bet.
He's been a stopper. He's been that guy. And, you know, just won his 150th game, which is no small thing in baseball these days. So I think, you know, the core of that rotation is there. If they grab Wheeler or they grab Boyd or somebody else and Eovaldi actually, you know, shows some magic in that bullpen, I think the Red Sox are going to be a playoff team. I thoroughly expect to be broadcasting Red Sox games in October.
All right. I've kept Dave O'Brien out of the water on a day off when he shouldn't have been talking to me. Okay.
You know where I've been doing this, Mike? Where I've been chatting with you in this little tiny room. It's a little office in this property that we're renting on Nantucket.
Yeah.
And when I walked in here to chat with you, I was like, I remember reading another writer, David McCullough, one of my favorite historians.
Yeah.
he has a little room like this when he writes on his property. And I was wondering, when you're writing books,
yep.
do you have like a little getaway that you tuck yourself in for just weeks on end before you get your book done?
Yeah, okay, I'm turning to the left now, David. Okay, this is inside baseball, but it's an interesting question. Okay, I have my podcast set up on one part of the room in my writing room. Okay, to my left is the writing table with the yellow pads that I write longhand before I type my books. Okay, and I'm the sixth chapter of a new mystery for adults. Okay,
wow.
And this is my little getaway, except when there's a barking dog. Okay, and that David, that writing table has made every move with me since I was single and living on 56th Street in Manhattan. And every book and a part of every book I've ever written has been written on this writing table.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, one of the stops I made sure I made in London, Mike, was one of Charles Dickens' homes. And exact same thing, the writing desk that he wrote, Oliver Twist and
yeah.
Nicholas Nickleby, all these great that's still there, and he never wrote anywhere else. That was it. So it's fascinating. I'm really interested in how writers work.
All right, last question. Oh, two questions. One, have you read Mr. Remy's book?
I am reading it right now as we speak. I'm about a third of the way.
And I hear it's pretty great. I read Danny Shaughnessy's. It sounds like it's great. And here's my other question, because I am endlessly fascinated by, you know, I was never good with languages at Boston College. I got through Spanish and I got through French. OK, but there is a language called the Ek. Okay, and it is the most bizarre and totally wonderful language that I know about. It's a sub form of the English language, and I want to know how often when you are working with Dennis Eckersley, does he come up with a new one that you have not heard before, and you kind of know what it means, but you're not sure what it means.
Yeah, it probably happens, I would say, once a month, where he will say something. I mean, a lot of them I hear before. Then he'll drop one on you like he did a year ago. And I was like, whoever the hitter was, let's say it was Stanton. I go, slider in there, strike three. And all you hear from Eck is, pair of shoes, pair of shoes. And you're like, I'm looking at him like, what, my shoes, your shoes? What's going on? Did someone throw something on our shoes? What was it? And he did it again about three innings later, and I felt like such an idiot because I should have asked him right away. I should have said, what does that mean? A pair of shoes. It's a strikeout looking. All that's left is a pair of shoes. And I went, well, I kind of knew that, but it's X speak, so you got to get a clarification on it. He's like, he is one of the more interesting people in baseball today for 100 different reasons. He still is.
Oh,
and a fascinating partner, he really is.
Okay, how many times, so it's far more often, because I'm not obviously as tuned in the way you are, far more often do you get a text from me during the game and say, and I will say to O'Brien, what the hell did he just say?
What on earth did that mean? And good luck, and that's when I have to ask Eck. And look, he's doing commercials now, and I know you watch a lot of our games. He's doing commercials now for a ticket, for Ace Ticket, actually, where he's asking people on the
street. I've seen it. Yeah.
What are these things that I say? Do you know what they mean? And it's a cute spot, but you know, it's taken on a life of its own. But trust me when I tell you, it's not fabricated. This is how Eck's been talking since he was 19 years old.
Yep.
He just happens to have a microphone in front of his face every day.
He is wonderful. David, thank you so much for doing this. We have to do this every few months because it's not just about the Red Sox. The baseball conversation is at the highest level when you're talking about this sport. I can hear every single night how much fun you have going to work, talking with your guys and talking about this team. So enjoy the rest of your time off. And on Friday night, I will be in front of my television listening to you talk about Red Sox Dodgers.
Kick me a couple texts. Thanks.
All right. Thank
you. Always a pleasure. Thanks, bud.
David O'Brien, one of the best in the business. One of the best in the business. If you have access to MLB TV or and you can click on Nesson, you click on Nesson to hear him work with Remy or Eckersley or both of them. The three of them together is as good as there is now in baseball. It's so much fun to talk to him. But you know, listen to this podcast. These are the kind of guests that we get. And I'm lucky enough to get to talk to who I want to talk to. We're doing it twice a week. Continue to download. Continue to subscribe. Go to Apple Podcasts. Go to Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Leave a comment if you want. And we'll talk to you in a few days, everybody.
The Mike Lupica Podcast is produced and distributed by Compass Media Networks in conjunction with Hiltzik Creative. For iPhone users, go to the podcast app and search the Mike Lupica Podcast. Click on the Mike Lupica Podcast icon and subscribe. For non-iPhone users, you can listen on Google Play Music, TuneIn, Stitcher, or your preferred podcast platform.